Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. We do appreciate your calling in and being a part of Nothing But the Truth with Truth Deliverance Ministry and your host, Pastor Katie Pierce. We appreciate it so much. We're going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get some preliminaries out of the way, and then we're going to go into our study or our lesson for tonight. Thank you so much. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now, God, to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We come now, O Father God, asking in Jesus' name, God, that you would open our eyes, O Lord God, that we may behold wonderful things out of your law, God. We bind the enemy, God, who would try to stop us or prevent us or halt us, God, from excelling in your word, O Lord God. We come, O Lord God, and bind a stagnant place, O Lord God. Us stand in a stuck place of our own opinion, O Lord God. And we release now, O Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will open us up, O Lord God, to see it as you see it, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We come now in Jesus' name, O Lord God, asking, O Father, that you will soften our hearts, O Lord God. Give us a new heart, O Lord God, that even, O God, as we visualize, even, O God, as we see, even, O God, as we release, O Lord God, from an old way to a new way, O Lord God. We pray now, God, that our hearts will be inclined to receive your word on tonight, God, that your word will fall on good ground, O Lord God, and that it will take root and begin to grow up in us, O Lord God. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, as we're studying, to show ourselves approved unto you, O God, that we will take this given word, God, and apply it to our everyday lives, O Lord God. Our desire, Father God, is that you may get the glory from our life, O Lord God, that you may be glorified in everything we say and in everything we do, O God. We desire to honor you, O Lord God. We desire, O Lord God, to bring a smile, O Lord God, to your face, O God, as we walk this life of righteousness and holiness, O God. O Father God, we desire, O Father God, to be more like you, O Lord God. We desire, O God, that men, when men look at us, O God, they will not see us, God, but they will see the reflection of you in our lives, O Lord God. We want to become so much like you, O God, that people won't be able again to see us, because the only thing they'll see is you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, God, immerse us in your word. Take us into a deeper depth of your word, O Lord God, a deeper depth of your study, of studying your word, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, God, we do honor you, we do bless you, we do glorify you. Now, Holy Spirit, the teacher of teachers, O God, the rabbi, O Lord God, we call on the Holy Spirit, O Lord God, who you left to teach us and to bring us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we call on you now in the name of Jesus Christ to have your way. O great teacher, have your way in the name of Jesus. I decrease that you might increase in me, O Lord God, and have your way in this place. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. And so it is in Jesus' mighty name, all agreeing with me, saying amen and amen and amen. Well, amen again, hallelujah. We thank God again for your joining us on tonight, and we're looking forward to a study on tonight with talking about misaligned saints, misaligned saints. And as I was beginning to reflect on the lesson and what to teach about today, I began to visualize our spinal cord. And I actually looked up the spinal cord online and really, really began to look at it, and was just fascinated with all of the intricacies of our spinal column, the spinal cord, and how many bones it is, and how it overlaps with each other, and how if anything is out of whack, you could pinch a nerve, or if something happens to it that devastates it, that you could become paralyzed. The spinal column, it goes from literally from the your backbone of your derriere, if you will, all the way up into your neck, into, and it immerses itself even in your head. And I was looking at, it's the core, it's the center, it's the core of who we are and our makeshift. And so as I began to look at that and understand that, the scripture that came to mind that talks about from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as part of a working properly, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Hallelujah. And that's, of course, coming from the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse. Let me read it for you again. And it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. And, of course, again, it's coming from the book of Ephesians, and it's talking about the unity that should be prevalent in the body of Christ. Talking about the unity that should be prevalent in the body of Christ. So when you talk about alignment, when we look at the actual word alignment, when I was looking it up and looking for a definition, the definition that I found was an arrangement or a position in a straight line or in parallel lines. It is the process of adjusting parts so that they are in proper relative position, that it's a straight line, each thing doing its significant part, working together in a straight line to get some things done. And so when you talk about, but even though it's a straight line, each thing has its own individual part. And as you look at the spinal column, or you look at the spinal cord, if any of those, all of these little bones and things that are overlapping each other, you know, if one of them is out of place, you've heard people talk about they have a slip disc. That means that something in that spinal column went off kilter and it's causing great pain. People can barely walk. The pain is so excruciating because one little thing, one bone misaligned itself and caused detriment, cause excruciating pain. And I think that if we would begin to look at it from that aspect, when we're talking about the body of Christ, how important it is for each of us to do our individual jobs, if we look at how important it is for us to align ourselves, to be parallel, to work cohesively together in the body of Christ. And when I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm not just talking about your church or my church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That each kingdom, each piece is fitly joined together. And it says, the scripture says that it's joined together and it's promoting love, that we should be promoting love. Imagine, if you will, if we could become unified in the kingdom on a larger scale, if we become unified in the kingdom so that God is glorified in everything we do. Now, if we wanted to bring it down to a smaller or a more intimate setting, that being our individual churches, if we worked cohesively together within the body of Christ, if nobody, you know, got the big head and started thinking outside of their position or what it is that they're supposed to do within the body of Christ, but that parallel line, we understand that the parallel line is important in order for us to proceed, in order for us to get done in the kingdom what we need to get done in the kingdom. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. You know, it's important to understand that the soul has a life of its own, and that as Christians, we're called to walk in the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means the Spirit is supposed to take precedence in our lives. If we could get to a position and a place in our life where we're not ruled with the carnal mind, amen, somebody, Paul told them, he said, look, I would really love to feed you meat, but at this point, even though you should be eating meat, I still got to give you milk. You know, even though you've got teeth and you should be able to grind this meat up, you should be able to take it, chew it, digest it. Come on, somebody. But you're not even in a position yet for me to do that. And I think that it is imperative for the church to get to a point in the kingdom as well as in the individual churches, that we get to a point where we learn how to work in a unified manner, where we learn how to work cohesively together and have one goal. You know what I'm saying? One faith, Come on, somebody. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. If we could begin to look at it from that aspect and not us going off on our own tangent, if us not, you know, not going off trying to get the limelight on me. Come on, somebody. But that we understand that we work cohesively together to get it done. The Spirit is the presence of God within us. This is our new command center. But as stated earlier, there is an internal war in progress, and the fact that the enemy is trying to invade. The enemy is trying to invade and have his way. The process is never easy. We can never accomplish it on our own, but we are not left alone to fight this battle. God has promised to empower us, and we will emerge victorious. He has said in Ezekiel that he will remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a new and a living heart, controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. But again, this thing is not a forced will. Come on, somebody. This thing is not a forced will. And we're reminded how in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus enabled us to be able, where he said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but let thine will be done." We've got to begin to learn how to take down and allow God to have his way in us. I was reading an article today, and it was talking about when you're talking about being aligned with God, it says the way that you can find out if you're in alignment with God is for if the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, and he asks you to do something, and it interferes with a time frame that you love. Come on, can I just talk about on a Thursday night? On a Thursday night, a new season, the new lineup of the Thursday night, and that's the night when Bible study is going to take place, or your pastor has asked you to do something. Come on, somebody. What would you do when you align with God, when you've learned how to die to yourself and your will and your way to die to yourself, then you will allow God to come in and have his way. And you will begin to do what God wants you to do. So how can you tell whether or not you're aligned with God? It's actually quite simple. Imagine yourself doing an activity you really enjoy. Now imagine the Holy Spirit suddenly asking you to stop doing it. How would you respond? How would you respond? This is really going to be a test. This is going to be a way for a gauge, rather, to see where you are and where you are spiritually. Where have you grown in Christ? When you can deny yourself, when you can deny yourself and say no to what you desire and yes to what God desires. I remember definitively God asking me or ministering to me about, again, that Thursday night lineup, because I was a Grey's Anatomy fan, a How to Get Away with Murder fan, a Scandal fan. I mean, I looked at this thing religiously, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody with where you are. The Holy Ghost is your guide. You let him bring conviction or you know, the old people used to say, let your conscience be your guide. But in actuality, we should let the Holy Spirit be our guide. Amen. And so you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit begin to minister to you with that respect. But if something is taken away from you doing what God would have you to do, and initially it was a challenge. Can I just be real? Initially it was a challenge, but I love God enough whereas I walked away from it. And now on Thursday nights, I don't even look at that channel. And the other TV shows where the Holy Spirit has quickened me and said, you know, you don't need to watch that. Let's just talk about time frame and other things that we do that take away from us doing what God would desire us to do, that take away from kingdom work because we've decided that something else is more important. And if that's the case, then you're misaligned. You're misaligned, and you need to take some step back and begin to look at it and ask God to do some things in us. The solution to the problem is complicated on some levels, but basically it's quite simple. We have to undergo a realignment whereby our bodies, our soul and our spirit become a functioning whole part, a unified purpose. We have to begin to tell our bodies that the spirit is in control. You know, when you've allowed your bodies and your own natural man to dictate how you live or to dictate what it is that you're doing. And as I was going over this lesson, can I just minister to you and confess to you that God began to tell me the same thing needs to take place in me as far as like my eating habits or going to the gym. That my body should be so important to carry the word of God that it takes precedence over what I desire. Okay, yes. You grew up on fried chicken. Fried chicken in Crisco is the best. But is fried chicken in Crisco really healthy to your body at this particular number in your age? Come on here, somebody. And so as I began to, you know, get quickened and fall under conviction when I was studying, God was saying there's still some areas where you need to be aligned, that you need to realign some things. You need to get some things in order for me to get a more perfect work out of you. Come on. And so as I begin to look at that, I have to begin to tell my body, who's been in control, who my taste buds, who's out of whack, come on here, that you've got to learn how to get a different type of taste. You're going to have to acquire a taste for Greek yogurt. Hello, somebody. You have to acquire a taste for those things that are good for you, and that the more you do it, the more your body will fall into subjection. Hello, somebody. Your body will fall into subjection, and then you will acquire a taste, and you won't find it to be a difficult thing at all. The new alignment is under direction of the Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to get us from a position and a place of being misaligned to aligning us in the spirit realm, aligning us in the Word of God. Which is also, you know, we're misaligned in, let's just say, our reading of God's word. My preference would be to pick up a book and read a book, but not to pick up the book and read a book. I've often heard people saying whenever I pick up the Bible and start reading, I instantly get sleepy. And so to find a time frame where you are able to read God's word, hello, somebody, read God's word and not fall asleep. Or, you know, read it earlier during the day as opposed to late at night. Or read it at your lunchtime. Or read it, my time for reading the word of God is on the train ride into work. I read my scriptures. I study my word and things of that nature. So finding a time frame, different time frames, you know, working with that thing, because you're trying to become from a status of being misaligned to aligning yourself, not just aligning yourself, but aligning yourself in the Spirit and allowing Holy Spirit, come on somebody, to lead you and to guide you. So as we go through the process of this alignment, we are also told by Christ that we should abide. Abide in me, he tells us. So we can stay, so we can say that what we are called to do is to align and abide. That once you have aligned yourself, stand focused and abiding in that place of God so that we can maintain, so that we can have a good, for lack of a better word, a good success rate in God. So there are reasons for this, that we need to abide in him, because his word, of course, tells us to abide in him. But the core of the problem has resulted from the ongoing faith works, you know, that we've been doing things that we wanted to do and not yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing God to do what he would have us to do. So, again, going back to the scenario that Holy Spirit has interrupted your day and began to ask you to realign. He's saying, okay, I need you to shift from some places. Time for you to grow up from this place. And I just give you a little story, a little insert. It just happened on tonight. My granddaughter, who normally when I come in from work, she'll come in my room and I'm, you know, unwinding from the day, and she'll get my tablet and she'll sit in the bed and she'll begin to watch something on YouTube with Frozen, the cartoon Frozen, and she'll put her headphones on and she's listening to it. And today I came in and she skipped in my room and said, you know, Grandma, can I watch the tablet? But I happened to look at the table and I saw that she had some homework. And it wasn't anything just tracing her name, learning how to write her name. And I said, no, Faith, you can't see my tablet because I see you have homework. She said, but Grandma, I always see your tablet. I said, I know that you always see my tablet, but today you have something that's more important, and you have to do your homework. And she began to cry. She began to cry because flesh usually was able to get what it wanted from me, and that was to be able to sit down, get on that tablet, do what she wanted to do. And now here I am trying to realign her now to put in that you have homework. And she's only in preschool, but you have to train up a child. So I told her, I said, no, you can't see the tablet until you do your homework. And she pouted and she cried for a little bit, and she wanted her sister to console her and the whole nine. Well, leave it to say that she did her homework. And she came in and she showed it to me, and we cheered her and we were happy about it. And then I gave her the tablet and told her, okay, now you can spend a little time on the tablet. And the thing of it is, it's that realignment. Realignment sometimes, it'll seem like it's, you know, it's a war in your members. Your flesh is saying, no, this is what we do. You get contentment out of it. The flesh is saying, no, it pouts and it cries. Come on, somebody. But you have to begin to take a stand because of the fact, and allow the Holy Spirit to say, no, we're realigning some things. We're getting some things in order. We're going to read the scriptures, you know, every night or every morning, and we're going to start somewhere. There needs to be a starting place to this realignment. Hello, somebody. So even if it's that I'm just going to read one chapter today and then progressively increase it or whatever the case may be, but there has to be a starting place. We have to get from that position of being misaligned, that old man and that old ways and that carnal thought process, to becoming that spiritual man led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And growing up in Christ. So suppose God were to tell us right now that there is some sin in our life that he's unhappy about. What would your first reaction be? If you're aligned with God in your soul, this example would upset you. If you're not aligned, you'd scoff. It wouldn't upset you. If you're aligned with God and God brought to your attention some sin. Now, let me just throw a monkey wrench in here. Yeah. Because what if God brought to mind some sin and it came through somebody? See, we don't mind sitting by ourselves and being quickened by the Holy Spirit. Well, I can't say we don't mind because some of us do mind. But it's even more challenging when somebody brings that to your attention. Your flesh rises up. You know, you want to get defensive. You want to give reason as to why you did it. And we have to, again, become from the place and the position of being misaligned to the place of being aligned. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so we've got to begin to learn how to fall up under authority. We've got to begin to learn how to tell our flesh that you are not in control, and begin to say, okay, God, I repent, you know, and I'm ready to move from this place, you know, and fall into alignment with you. No more I, but it's going to be the Christ that lives on the inside of you. So when you really care about God in your spirit, when you really care about God, even in your soul, the thought of pleasing him is very important to you. The thought of him being dissatisfied with you is very upsetting. You take conversations, convictions from the Holy Spirit, you take them very seriously. And so we've got to begin to yield to the Spirit of God. It's one thing for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring something to our attention and we yield to that conviction and do what is right. It's another thing for us to have the Holy Spirit speak to us and tell us and convict us about the thing, and we begin to make excuses. You're misaligned. And so you have to begin to allow God to do what he needs to do in you. When you're not aligned with God, you don't care when you're not aligned with God, you don't care what he thinks. Your conviction, you don't care about being convicted, you don't care. And, you know, I think that that's a place with some of the people of God when they're not ready to accept or ready to, for that growth spurt in the spirit. Amen. And they're not ready for that growth spurt in the spirit. They have many, many excuses as to why they do the things that they do. We go with the adage, God knows my heart. And I can remember preaching a sermon and saying, you know, yes, God does know your heart. And that's the reason why you should be very afraid, because he knows. And so we have to begin to get out of a position where we are making excuses for sin. Well, we're making excuses to stay where we are in Christ. We should be growing up in Christ. I can't say it enough. If you've been in the church for 43 years, come on, somebody. You've been in the church for 30 years. You've been in the church for 25 years, and you haven't progressed any at all. It's a problem. It's a problem if you have not grown. If you are, come on, if you had a baby, let's talk about it for a second. Let's say you have a child, a newborn child. You take that baby home and you're feeding the baby, you're trying to feed the baby, and you go back to the doctor and the baby hasn't gained any weight. You're going to be concerned. You're going to be concerned and say, whoa, what is really happening? I'm feeding this baby. I'm feeding it. I know that I'm feeding it. It's taking the bottle. It's eating the food. Why isn't it gaining weight? Why isn't it getting any bigger? As opposed to getting bigger, it looks like it's becoming more malnourished. What's the problem? And that's the question that pastors should be asking themselves about their members. Blows my mind when we don't want people, even within our congregation, to get to a point where they're at a level where we want to, put them to the next level of ministry. You know, if you stay in kindergarten, you've been in the church 25 years and you stay in kindergarten, you never grew up, you've never been in a position to be elevated at all, something is wrong with that picture. If somebody's been in college for 45 years and they haven't graduated, something is wrong with that picture. I'm not talking about they've gotten, you know, multiple degrees. You haven't even graduated and gotten your associates and you've been in college. Something is wrong with that. There's a misalignment somewhere. Hello, somebody. Yes. And so we have got to get to a point where we're not making excuses for sin, making excuses for being in the same place in Christ. We can only quote one scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's good. That's good. But you've been in the church 25 years, and that's the only scripture you were able to memorize. Something's wrong with that. And again, this is talking about coming from a position of being misaligned to a position of being aligned in God. Amen. Coming from a position of being stagnant to getting in a position where the rivers of living waters, hello somebody, hallelujah, the rivers of living waters, hallelujah, are flowing through you. Amen. Amen. I hope this is blessing somebody. And so we've got to get to a point where we want God to be precedent. We want God and what God desires from our life to be very, very important to us. We're taking it seriously. We're ready to get, you know, have you heard people say, it's got to be more to this. It has to be more to this. And it is more to this. The problem is that you're not delving deep to get the more of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's delve deep. Let's go deep. You know, the scriptures talks about in one of the gospels how the disciples was fishing and God said, you know, I need you to move out into the deep. You know, you gotta get out into the deep waters. Amen. Amen. And God is saying, for some of us, you've been, you know, splashing around in the shallow water too long, and it's time for you to launch out into the deep. Amen. Hallelujah, God. So sitting in our flesh is not enough to fall out of alignment with God, but we have to be rebelling against Him on some level. Now, sinning in our flesh. When we're sinning in our flesh, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us. But when we're in line with God, we're not in a position where we're still falling for the same okey-doke. Amen. That our becoming aligned with God, Holy Spirit is going to quicken us with some things. I drive my congregants to church on Sunday morning, and I take the same road. And usually I can have anywhere between two or three trips back and forth down the same road going back and forth to church. And there are a couple of potholes in the road, so much so that I've gotten so used to it, I know what lane to get in, I know how to maneuver my car around it to get past it. You know, if I'm going up and down this road however many times a day and I'm still hitting that pothole, I can't get upset when my car needs to be realigned. Amen. Because there's, at some point in time, you should become familiar with what's going on around you, and not be so easy to fall into temptation. You know, some of us not falling into temptation. We just diving in. Amen. You didn't fall. You just dive right on in there. And so we need to get in a position where we're not rebelling against God in our soul, and we're not falling out of alignment when we turn away from God inside our own, the attitude, I don't care, you know, what you want, and I'm grown, and can't nobody tell me what to do, and again, God know my heart, and don't judge me, oh my goodness, and it goes on and on and on, and this is you making excuses to stay misaligned. This is you making excuses to stay missing out. And understand that the devil is a deceiver. He wants to deceive you into thinking that everything is okay. You're fine just the way you are. You don't need to change. You know, it don't take all of that. Hello. Huh? And that's the enemy's job. But I came to tell you that it takes that and some more. It's going to take you beginning to take, yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't push Him away. Don't shun Him. Don't snub Him and be like, well, you know, God know my heart. Don't snub the Holy Spirit like that. You know, if God has quickened you and telling you some things, you know, I need for you to change from that way. You know what I'm saying? Come on, let's talk about it. I need you to walk away from that relationship. You know, He's not going to marry you. It's no use in you, you know, still falling into the sin of temptation. Come on, somebody. Or I need for you to walk away, you know, from that friendship. I need for you to get stronger so that when you can return to that person, you'll be able to minister to them in a more excellent way. Let's talk about the woman at the well. The woman at the well, when she met Jesus, she went back to the very same people. Hello, somebody. That had laid with her. She went back to the very same, them same men, and she said, come and meet a man who told me about myself. Come and meet a man who didn't want to just get something out of me. Come on, somebody. Come and meet a man who saw me, the intimacy in me, who wanted intimacy in me, and not just wanted to have sex with me, not just wanted to have his way with me, not just wanted to spend my money, drive my car. Come on, somebody. Cook my food. Hallelujah. Come and meet a man. She went back to them and told them about Christ. And you've got to get in a position, if you're in relationship with people and you're not even comfortable talking about Jesus Christ, it's a problem. You're misaligned. Hello? Hello? You don't even want to talk about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ around people. You know, you don't even want to bow your head and say grace over your food. Hello? It's a problem. You're misaligned. And so getting in alignment, getting to a place of learning how to just repent. Holy Spirit, I repent. You bringing it to my attention. I was sharing with somebody, you know, God exposed it so He can heal it. He brings it to your remembrance, or brings it to the forefront so that you can deal with it, you can repent, and you can be made whole. Amen? Amen. So that's what God would have us to do, learning how to repent, learning how we can be realigned with God. God always makes instant realignments an option. Your being realigned with God is a choice. You have to choose to come under the submission of the Most High God. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to have free course and free reign in your life. Amen. God is able to do it, but he needs you to be a willing participant. He's not a rapist. He's not going to force himself on you. Hello, somebody. Oh, my God, to glory. He's not going to force himself upon you. And so you have to learn how to be obedient and come under submission to falling in alignment with the Most High God. I'm not a mechanic. I don't pretend to be a mechanic. I'm not a doctor. I don't even have a nursing background. I don't pretend to have one. But in my own sanctified mind, when you're driving a car and it keeps pulling to the left, it keeps going the way that it's going, it's time for you to go and have a wheel alignment. Something needs to be aligned to get that car to a point where it's going in the direction you want it to go in. And God is saying, hallelujah. God is saying, it is time. I need for you to understand, you've been pulling to the left a little too long. Ha, huh? Yeah, God to glory. You've been pulling to the right and doing it your way a little too long. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction even now to some of you, because you know it has to be more to this thing than this. Holy Spirit is convicting you because everything you're doing is literally dissolving in your hands. Huh? You're getting things that not stand with you. Holy Spirit is saying, yes, it's more to this, but I need you to come into agreement with me so that there can be a spiritual alignment. We can take the mishaps. We can take the things that are not right and begin to set them straight in you so that you can begin to walk a straight street. Hello. Oh, Holy Spirit, it's my desire. It's God's desire to align you. To align you. The moment you decide to obey him in your soul, he is pleased. And even though you haven't done the thing yet, even though you haven't submitted yet, in some cases, he might even change, have to change your mindset, change your surroundings, change some things that are going on in your life so that you can begin to give glory and honor to him. Begin to give the glory. Begin to give the honor to him. Your first alignment process may be, God, let this mind be in me that is also Christ in Christ Jesus. Your first alignment of the process of your being realigned in the spirit realm is for you to say, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. Come on, somebody. And so God is asking you to begin to allow him to align you, to allow him to maneuver some things, to set some things in order, to your steps, the steps of a good man, the Bible says, are ordered by the Lord, for you to begin to say that I'm not going to go where I want to go. Hello, somebody. God, order my steps on today that you will be pleased with even the places that I find myself in. Oh, my God, to glory. That's what the Lord is saying that he desires that you do. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Now, so you're a member of whatever congregation, and you out doing everything you want to do. Your mouth is filthy. Amen. And you're in the store and somebody says something. You need Jesus. I got Jesus. I go to such and such and such a church. You're a slip disc. You're a slip disc. You just cause harm. Hello, somebody. Huh? You just cause harm. You know, get it together. Get yourself together so that you can be a good steward, so that you can be a good example of, first of all, who Jesus is in the earth. Second of all, of who, you know, the church or whatever affiliation you're in. You want to be able for people to say, oh, yeah, that they good people. I met one of your members the other day. They, for them to be able to say that to your pastor. Amen. And so we want to begin to to do that. I can remember some years ago when I was married, they loved to go stepping. The family loved to go stepping. Now, there's nothing wrong in and of itself in stepping to me. But here's the thing. We would always find ourselves at this, it was a Catholic church on 99th and Troop. Somebody might know what I'm talking about. And we would go, it would be somebody's birthday, and we would go there, and when we would go there, they would bring their drinks, and the table would be filled with liquor, and we would be stepping, and I enjoy dancing. And so we would be stepping and dancing, and I'm not a drinker. I don't drink, but it was, we met somebody at this place, and they said, oh, I know you. You belong to such and such a church, and you lead such and such a song, and blah, 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 blah. And it was just something in me that didn't feel right, that I was having this conversation in this setting. Are you with me? Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Again, if Holy Spirit is convicting you, allow the conviction to go forth. But it was something about being there. I can't even remember, like, what I wore, because we would go and get a special outfit to do that. I mean, this was a big to-do. This was a big to-do. And I can't even remember if what I had on brought me to shame, because I was, you know, trying to be pleasing to my husband. But I fell under such conviction. I fell under such conviction on that night, meeting that person in the club. And somebody else would say, well, they should have been under conviction too. They was in the club. No, but I was trying to fall into alignment. Hello? I was trying to get in alignment. I wanted to do everything I could to please God. I wanted to please him so much so that if it meant that I didn't go to step and set, you know, then I don't go to a stepper set. And so I began to pull back from that. And I began to tell, you know, my husband at the time, I said, let's find another way for you and I to enjoy, you know, each other's company, because I wasn't comfortable. I fell under heavy conviction that night. But that was just me. And so began to pull away from it. And again, the Holy Spirit will just mess up what you've come to know or what you've come to think is enjoyment, you know, when you're trying to fall in the alignment of what God would have you do, when you're trying to ask God to redirect and to reorder your steps and to put you on a plain path, when your desire from being living a life of misalignment for so long, and then you find out that things weren't right, that you didn't need to be in pain. I'm thinking about, you know, the vertebrae. I'm thinking about the spinal column, and when it's a disc out of order, and you move just a little, the pain that wreaks havoc, you know, in your body. And so that night, I was misaligned. I had a slipped disc. Something wasn't right in the spirit realm, and God brought me under conviction so much so that it was painful. Hello? And I had to repent, and that's God. You know, I repent, God. My desire is to please you. Now, I got a whole lot of people who were saying, you know, it's not nothing wrong with that. You know, you were trying to please your husband and blah, 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 blah. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. You have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you, because God is, depending on the height and the level and the depth of what you want to go in God. Some things that might be right for one person may not be right for you. Amen? Amen. And so when we're talking about being aligned and getting to a place where God can align us. So how do you stay aligned with God? You know, how do you get to a point where, you know, you know that this is what God would have for you to do, and you're willing to give up the pressure from other people, and to, you don't care what's at stake in order for you to be aligned with God. God isn't telling you what to do. He might be telling you what not to do. For example, he might be telling you that your reasons for wanting to move have some problems. He might be pointing out an area in which you are feeling tempted to trust your own wisdom instead of his. Before you choose a direction, make sure that there is no unfinished business between you and the Holy Spirit. Remember that God is convicting you. He will clearly identify any problems. He will tell you a specific solution if you will get in a position to hear from him. Staying aligned, staying in communication with God is so vitally important in order for you to stay aligned with God. Communication is important. Communication is vital. Having a good prayer life with God and having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto you. And so we have to begin to look and say, okay, God, I've been misaligned. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit has brought it to conviction. I'm ready to address the issues that are not of you. Amen. And I'm ready to align myself. I'm ready to align myself. And in order for me to align myself, maybe, you know, getting a prayer journal, hallelujah, and beginning to write down some things that you desire of God. Getting a prayer journal even just to set a standard of this is how my day is going to flow. You know, we have daytimers. I remember when I worked at the bank some years ago, they had us to go to a class, and it was talking about time management, how to manage your time wisely. And, you know, they told us to get a daytime and begin to write out the things for the day. And I'm sure many of you probably have either, you know, you're writing it down in paper, and in your own mind you may be saying, I need to do this, this, and this. Start putting God in your day timer. Start putting God on your list of things to do. You know, let the first thing on your list of things to do is a.m. prayer. Amen, somebody. Or, you know, your list to do of studying the Word. Write in that, you know, you need to read a chapter in the book of Acts or whatever the case may be. This is going to be a part of your process. This is going to be a part of your process to becoming aligned, and watch this, staying aligned in the spirit realm. And so these are some of the things that you need to do. And then you'll get to a point where when you don't do it, you know, you'll just be off kilter. When you don't do it, things won't flow the way that they need to flow when you don't do it, because it become a practice. It's become a part of you. It's ingrained, hallelujah, in you to get those things done. And so those are some things that you want to do. Amen, amen. And so I do pray that this is blessing you as we're talking about it. Another thing that I want to make mention of and your thing to do, begin to live a life of repentance. Learn how to repent. You know, don't fight with the Holy Spirit when he brings you into conviction. Release it. Go ahead and release it. You know, confess it. Confess your sins. The Bible says confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another. Go ahead and confess it. Holy Spirit, I repent. I did it. You know what I'm saying? Watch this. The other thing, it's not just confessing your faults to God, but sometimes it's going to take you confessing and repenting to some people. Oh, my God. Now, that's when the rubber meets the road, you know, when you've got to go to a person. Huh? My God. Especially if you feel like that you haven't done anything wrong. And the Holy Spirit was so enlightening to me when it began to show me that he didn't say, you know, to repent to those that you have wronged. He said, just repent. It doesn't matter who did it. Just make amends. Make it right. Make it right. Get it right. I being aligned in the body of Christ. And so remember, fitly joined together. And when you've got unforgiveness, when you've got the thing, when you haven't repented to a person, that's a slip disc. And you cannot be aligned. You're not parallel. Come on, somebody. You're not parallel if you're holding resentment, if you don't want to repent, if you don't want to ask for forgiveness, if you know what I'm saying. God is saying it's time out for that. And I'm ready for my people to realign. I'm ready for my people to get themselves together. Hallelujah. So we've got to learn to live a life of repentance. We've got to learn how to live a life and understand that when you apologize to somebody, when you go and rectify a wrong that is pleasing to God, your little feelings might be hurt, but it pleased God. And remember, that's your ultimate desire. My desire is to please you. Come on, somebody. My desire is to please God. Amen. Amen. So even if it means making me be ashamed, even if it means making me be uncomfortable, my desire, my ultimate desire is to please God. And I shared the other day on Facebook in the book of Psalms when David said, purge me with hyssop that I might be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let's allow the Holy Spirit, let's allow our Father to purge us with hyssop that we might be clean. And then as I began to look at what hyssop was a plant for purification. It was a plant that purified and brought cleansing. So he said, cleanse me, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was something that they used to purify to get, my God to glory. Allow God to purge you with hyssop, to come in, to purify. And whatever that purification process looks like, yield to it and go through it. Yield to it and go through it. Because at the end of the matter, at the end of the process, he said, I'm going to wash you and you'll be whiter than snow. Amen. 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 This thing is good to me. So I'm going to go over a prayer with you on tonight. And as Holy Spirit, please just take a moment. Just take a moment. Take a moment to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to convict, to minister to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you where the misalignment was, where the problem is. And he needs for you to begin to get rid of some things, to throw out some things, you know. Throw that porn out. Come on, somebody. He needs you to begin to throw out some things. Throw out that toy. Amen. He needs for you to begin to get in his presence. Get in his presence so that he can begin to align some things. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. So Holy Spirit, we just yield ourselves to you now that you'll come in and begin to minister. Hallelujah, God. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your divine alignment in the Spirit. We decree and we declare, God, that we are vertically and horizontally lined up with your will, God. Wherever we're not horizontally lined up with your will, wherever we need to make amends to somebody, God, to fall back into right standing, Father, please, Holy Spirit, bring it to our remembrance. Bring it to the forefront of our mind, God, that we can deal with it and we can just do it. The blood of the everlasting covenant of Jesus, it covers us. It has made me perfect in every good work, O God. According to Hebrews 13:21, I am standing on the foundation of Christ. I am laying for myself a good foundation for the future that I may have eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:19. I will not be pulled to and fro because I am maturing daily in the things of God. Ephesians 4:14. I live in a rhema. I live in rhema. Hallelujah. And it is activating. It is the activating sign, wonder, and miracles around me on a normal basis. Surely goodness and mercy has my back all the days of my life, according to Psalms 23:6. Because I have divine sonship, I will abide on the course of the Lord and will not be led astray. I stand at the gates, O Lord God. This is my season and this is my place, O Lord God. I am under divine alignment of the heavenlies. All connections to the second heaven are dismantled. Every prince or ruler operating against my destiny is dethroned. The Lord has commanded the stars to fight the enemies of their path over me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Early do I rise. I speak to the morning and command the day spring to line with my destiny. The first light has commanded the will of God for me in the break of day. The soil has been plowed in the spirit for the seeds of fruition to be planted daily. I purpose to walk in daily destiny, the destiny of each year, and ultimately to achieve my eternal destiny. I come in agreement with the messenger, the angel, and the angel of destiny that go before me to appoint the will of God for my days and to forbid anything that will hinder it. From sunrise to sunset, my required season has been established in the heavenlies and is manifesting in the earth realm. It has come as a result in a process of time and has been set in order by God for every divine appointment and every heavenly intervention in my days. The place I have been up to now is too small for me, and I am breaking out. Hallelujah. I'm breaking out every side. I declare that I have room to live. Lord, bless me indeed. Let there be no question that you are working on my behalf. The anointing of the Maker is my portion, Lord God. You have brought me a long way, and your hand is on all that concerns me. I thank you for enlarging my coast. Keep me from evil so that my spirit will not be grieved or my soul pushed out of alignment. Jesus, I praise you. Hallelujah, God. I praise you because I can see the place of my tent being enlarged. Hallelujah, God. The curtains of my habitations are stretched forth. Hallelujah, God. And I will spare not and will lengthen my cords and strengthen my stakes. Oh, Lord God, I am breaking forth on every side, and my seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate cities inhabitable. I have no fear, and I will not be damned, cursed, or confounded. The shame of my past, the reproach of my widowhood, oh, Lord God, are cast into the sea of forgetfulness forever, oh Lord God. So I thank you, oh Lord God. I thank you and I praise you, oh God. I thank you, God, for realigning me, oh Lord God. I thank you, oh Lord God, for knitting me in the household of faith, oh God. I thank you, oh Lord God, for calling me to a higher place in you, oh Lord God. I thank you, God, that you're enlarging my mindset not to be, oh Lord God, so boxed in, but you're enlarging it, oh Lord God, that I now have a kingdom mindset, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. I thank you, oh Lord God, for enlarging my territory, and I praise you, oh God, for what you're doing. Now, God, unto him who is able to keep me from falling and present me faultless before the coming of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior. Hallelujah, God. Be both glory, power, dominion, now and forever. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, God. In Jesus' name, it is so. And so it is. Amen. Whew. Amen. And amen. I just wanted to say that a portion of this prayer was taken from the Prayers That Bring Change by Kimberly Daniels. Amen. And we just appreciated this. This is the prayer for divine alignment. This is the prayer for us to begin to get under the authority of the Most High God, to get under the authority of the Holy Spirit so that our steps can be ordered by the Lord. Oh, well, so we thank you so much for joining us on tonight. Again, we do pray that tonight's lesson was something that was a help to you. That's our prayer, that it was something that will help you to get to that next level and that next place that you will have in the kingdom and the things that you are doing for God. So, again, thank you for joining us. This is Pastor Katie Pierce, and I am the pastor of, I'm sorry, let me go back. This is Apostle Designee Katie Pierce, and I am the pastor of Truth Deliverance Ministries. Truth Deliverance Ministry with a Y. And we do urge you, we encourage you to email us. We encourage you to like us on Facebook. We encourage you to send us your prayer requests. You can send those to Truth Deliverance Ministry with at yahoo.com, and we'll lift you up in prayer, your prayer requests. Again, or you can make those requests known to us on our Facebook page, Truth Delivers Ministry, as well, and we'll do our very best to contact you and let you know that we stand in agreement with you for the things that God has for you. Well, again, I do so appreciate your joining me on tonight. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. Lord, I pray that you have too. And until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Remember, you were created to create. Why don't you create something wonderful that God will enjoy this day? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good night, everybody. See you next week.